For each one of us on our path back to Godhead, there's arrangements for us. If there's doors that will open if we just come to the door. Sometimes we don't even have to knock. The door just opens. And thinking of the different persons who are... My anticipation coming here was based upon our discussions in Dallas, when the spiritual care initiative just began, and the idea was Purusha Sukta's inspiration that our leaders, based upon his spiritual master's inspiration, our leaders should come together and put aside other things and just come together on a spiritual platform and associate on that platform, specifically putting aside all other things. So such a retreat was what I was expecting. I shared this yesterday, day before yesterday. I had a different anticipation, but Krishna made another arrangement. And it's a very nice arrangement. So many devotees who have served with or in proximity of or been in awe of the service that they've done, and it's just Krishna's arrangement. Satsarupa Maharaj was my first temple president. And inspired me very much. I mean, just yesterday during the evening kirtan, although he couldn't dance like young brahmacharis sometimes dance, he was slowly standing with his arms raised and internally feeling ecstasy. Huh? Okay, thanks. Krishna makes arrangements for each of us, and in this case for all of us together. I think it's very wonderful. We had a retreat in Gitanagari where the theme of the retreat was say yes to Krishna. Everyone that came got a say yes to Krishna button. And the start of it was think of so many things that you know, before they got their button. Think of so many things that disturb you. You just wish it was some other way. You know, it just gets under your skin or gets on your nerves or, you know, family, society, country, you know, no limit, just things that disturb you. It was pages. And then the exercise was how to turn that, you know, this disturbs me into a seeing that some arrangement of Krishna is being made and say yes to Krishna and work one's way through based upon the principle of, or the heartfelt expression of saying yes to Krishna, seeing the opportunity of personal growth or personal service or service to Krishna or some facility like that, but centered on saying yes to Krishna. It was very revealing. And so I said yes to Sachinandan Swami this morning, feeling it would disappoint many people because he's such a wonderful facilitator and speaker. Very quickly, just what I responded to him this morning was understanding what your theme is. I thought I could speak on the first three verses of Shikshastakam for this reason, that yesterday when we started our 64 rounds, because I was in great eager anticipation of that experience, and something happened that was very surprising. I felt like I was going down a path that I had been down many, many times before. And I think that's one of the reasons that we came to the retreat is we're all chanting, but we want to go down that path where the experience, the connection with Krishna is stronger, the connection with the holy name is more felt, more deeply connected. So I was very moved by our expert facilitator Sachinandan's Swami's preparing us. One particular thing was the, if I'm not quoting this correctly, please edit it, but Bhaktisiddhanta's statement that one chants the name when one receives the name and that touches one's heart, and then one, that sound vibration that one calls out, that's the name. So something like that. So I understood 64 rounds, that's a commitment. Let me start with that. Just calling out to Lord Chaitanya to please give the holy name. And that was very inspired by Sukavaha's words also, that the beginning. So that we've all received the name, but take up the chanting with that youthfulness or newness. Receive not just the syllables but the name, like we were hearing. There's a phrase that Prabhupada writes in the first canto in one of his purports that goes something like this, that's like really resonates in my devotional service. One who has a simple and grateful heart can easily enter into the kingdom of God. That's it.
Where is that?
First canto. One who has, is that exactly the verbatim, but one who has a simple and grateful heart can easily enter into the kingdom of God. And one of my meditations has been and experience and so forth is gratitude is something that stirs deeper spiritual emotion, deeper feelings of devotion. So that's how I started. Calling to Lord Chaitanya to please give me the holy name. Of course, we don't have access to Lord Chaitanya except through Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda wants to give the holy name. And the problem is not their wanting to give the holy name, it's our being eager to receive the holy name. And of course, our access to Lord Nityananda is through Srila Prabhupada, and I initiated into the chanting of the holy name. Here I am praying, please give me the holy name. Take me to that. Please carry me to that other position beyond the syllable position. But the experience of... So what I found was I was being taken over by what felt to me like something I have done zillions of times before, like a sadhana, of going through the Shikshastakam verses. And the first, because the first set of verses, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, or Anandam Bodhivardhanam pratipadam purnamritasvadanam sarvatma snapanam. You know, experiencing those deeper, the holy name delivers those things. Specifically, it's sankirtan, not japa, but it's the holy name. And this is like mahima section. The holy name, why should we want the holy name? So the first thing is chetadarpanam arjanam, the mirror of the mind becomes cleansed. It's a reciprocation. Again, the serving of the Supreme Lord is, and through his holy name, results in a relationship. I mean, it's not that it's a one-way relationship. We serve and he's stone. We serve and he reciprocates, and the reciprocation begins. You're entering into the relationship of first the heart becoming cleansed. Bhava maha davagni nirvapanam, the blazing forest fire of material existence is extinguished. This is something that one should, by meditating on the glories of the holy name and the glories of Krishna in the form of chanting his holy name, I want. So the eagerness to receive the holy name intensifies. Like Prabhupada's teaching, Krishna consciousness is to understand that God is great, we are very small, therefore we should serve him. That is Krishna consciousness. So simple. But how great is God, that they do not know. So by hearing the mahima, hearing the glories of Krishna, just like in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that what Krishna begins the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is the glories of transcendental knowledge. And you're on the edge of your seat, because what he's going to describe is going to do all these wonderful things. And the Shikshastakam prayers begin with the wonderful things that the chanting of the holy name. I want 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 the holy name. Please. And it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and gives us that taste for the full nectar for which we are always hankering. Param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. So, I hadn't thought of this, at least in this lifetime, before, that the chanting of the holy name, that the Shikshastakam prayers are bringing us along the path of entering into the holy name. But that was what I was experiencing yesterday. Experiencing the genuine spiritual emotion of, wow, I'm just being taken for a ride in this wonderful adventure that Satchinandan Swami has arranged to facilitate, but it's just a service to the holy name. And a service to Prabhupada, and a service to Lord Nityananda, and a service to Lord Chaitanya, and here we go. How eager we should be for the holy name, the experiencing that fullness of the holy name. Little side point. I took a group of devotees to Jagannath Puri. The only time I had been there was once before, long, long ago, with Bhagwat Das, when Prabhupada was present and Gaur Govinda Maharaj was present, and there was. But I went with a group of devotees, so what I was kind of like, it was a beginning. I was really a new experience being in Jagannath Puri, and I went away from. Spent about 6 days in preparing for working with the devotees in Jagannath Puri and experiencing Jagannath Puri, and then another 9 days. And after spending those days, just that was a retreat and a treat. I plan to retreat again. I walked away with two very, very strong, I would say powerful impressions that this place, Jagannath Puri, is a place where Lord Chaitanya experienced the deepest spiritual emotions. And the place stirs those emotions. And the leelas performed there stir those emotions. And there were two prominent features in all of those leelas. At least that's the particular impression that was made upon me. Very simple. Incredible humility. Out of this world standards or levels of humility of the associates of Mahaprabhu in their association with him in Puri. And the second was an indomitable eagerness to achieve the goal. And when you step back and look at those two emotions or two feelings, they look contradictory. I'm unqualified. Like, stop, go. There are two different signals. But my appreciation was, on the spiritual platform, they're exactly dynamically complementary. Because as with reaching out for the holy name, there needs to be an increasing intensification of eagerness. And we all know what that results in. I can't do it. And it's only going to happen. Of course, we knew this all along, but the intensification brings the experience, not just the understanding, but the experience of descending mercy is absolutely necessary. And where can you get that descending mercy without real humility? Real humility is not the turn the other cheek kind of humility. It's the humility of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur and all the associates of Chaitanya. And if there was some pride in the heart, Pradyumna Mishra, he brought those persons to that position of abject humility. And together the two, it's the same as the 2 days before our 64 round days. Eagerness of attention depending upon descending mercy. I want that experience, but I can't have that experience unless Krishna is merciful. Just as we learn from the Damodar Leela, the 2 inches too short lesson, embedded within this wonderful Leela is disclosed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The effort of Mother Jasoda to bind Krishna was unsuccessful. So what to speak of ourselves trying to chant the holy name and not feel that we're being successful? Unsuccessful, unsuccessful, unsuccessful. But then Krishna allows Mother Jasoda to bind him, or Krishna reciprocates. So then, in this meditation on, and I'll say it again, it's not that I went down this path thinking, okay, I think I'll, this will be my meditation. It just started to happen. Again, like I'd been down this path many times, and it was just started to happen. I don't know. It was nice experience. It was mystical. Sarvatma snapanam. I was thinking of sarvatma. Sarvatma snapanam. And then I was thinking of the message that Satyananda Swami brought to our attention with the that first canto, chapter 3, the last verse, I think it is, the purport, text 44. So I'm going to read it if the computer cooperates. The context is, so this is Sarvatma Snapanam. The context is the sages of Naimisharanya are invoking Sutta Goswami to speak further. Sometimes the speaker, the listener, in their eagerness to receive from the speaker, speak truths in the Bhagavatam and in real life that are so profound. So they want to receive that which Sutta Goswami has received from Shukadeva Goswami, which he's received from Vyasadeva, which he's received from Narada. They want that. Eagerly they want that. So Prabhupada writes, simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word nivishta means that which Sutta Goswami drank, means that which Sutta Goswami drank the juice of the Bhagavatam through his ears. I think I've got the grammar wrong. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. Just a note, I want to go through another quote, but these two tracks that Prabhupada has given us, just as the... No, I'm fine. As the two tracks are necessary for a train, that is, in our practice, we require the two tracks of that which will purify the heart. For us, that's the chanting of the holy name. And the other track is that which will give guidance to our lives. That's the message of the Bhagavatam. And that which purifies the heart without reference to standard authorities, authoritative scriptures, is a disturbance to society. So in spiritual circles, we always make references, but what we want is that purified consciousness. So that is the real process of receiving the Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret. There's a secret for knowing the Srimad Bhagavatam or the holy name mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. Chaita Darpana Marjanam. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. End of purport. So there's hope that inspires our eagerness. But we're depending upon mercy. So the challenge in, of course, the challenge is purity. And the price of that purity is our rapt attention of this descending mercy. And then the price of that rapt attention is these other purity of mind, purity of action, purity in our everyday act. So we can't separate our everyday activities and have that rapt attention and have that mercy just penetrate through. So the first set of Shikshastakam verses are, they're glories, but they're subjective. This is what the holy name, the reciprocation that you can anticipate, the holy name will take you through when you chant with great intensity of purpose. Krishna's mercy will come in those ways. Then further, nam namakari bahuda nijasarva shaktis tatrapita niyamatak smaranena kalaha. Anywhere, no restrictions, no rules. Of course, there are some rules. That comes next. But in any place, all the potencies, just as Maharaj was encouraging us to, when thinking of Krishna and his holy name, Krishna and his holy name are none different. Anyway, so all of the spiritual potencies, Krishna is kindly making his presence with us accessible just through the chanting of his holy name. Durdaivam. Unfortunately. Idrisham ahajini nanuraga. This eagerness is not enough genuine. It's there somewhere. I wouldn't be doing this but unfortunately. No taste. So the next, it just moving forward with the chanting of this 64 round day led into that meditation. This wonderful Shikshastakam 3. And it's nice to stay in that space for some time, like, you know, forever. Because that brings all the rest. I had an experience in Chaupati, where it was one of those things that the European leaders had their RGB meeting, and they came out of the RGB meeting saying that our leaders in ISKCON should speak more about this verse. So I said, I was there, Jayadwaita Maharaj, and Radhanath Maharaj was there, and you know, you have multiple speakers. Radhanath Maharaj is very sick, so he decided he wouldn't say anything, but he got so excited hearing both of us speak, he spoke something very, very wonderful. And he spoke about this point of humility. So it's humility, it's not material, spiritual, being completely fixed in a spiritual conception is what real humility is. You're in a really humble position if you have a spiritual understanding of who you are, and here you are in this material world, or here I am in this material world. How embarrassing. How? So, but not just lamentation. That the spiritual humility is an impetus to make the spiritual connection with Krishna. It's like boom, boom. It's just part of the same thing. So trinadapi sunichena. I won't quote because it's a nice inspiration. Maybe I'll briefly do. I don't know. What's our breakfast schedule? And
a little after 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard in the kitchen they're also running out late.
The kitchen is running late.
Yes, Purusha Shukta could maybe check out the kitchen situation and report back to us. Then we know.
Okay, so what else? If he gives the thumbs up, I'll go through those. The third verse, very nice. But that's about as far as I got. And then he hit a wall, and it was struggle time. And that was nice. But the focus was this rapt attention, and it's so powerful. Just, how are we doing? What time?
It'll be over there. 10 minutes after
9:10. Okay. I want to go back to the. It's nice to turn that topic because it's so relevant for us and our spiritual journey. But I want to comment something else. And just basically amplify something that I said earlier, 2 days ago. There's when there's a strong desire, Krishna reciprocates. The reciprocation that Krishna reciprocates with, it's very, if we don't get it, Krishna, my experience is, Krishna makes sure we get it. It's on his terms. It's not, we got a wish list, and I'll surrender to you if you take care of my wish list. And I'm expecting it to happen in this way. Well, excuse me, but that's not what surrender to Krishna means. I just was hearing Prabhupada speak this in a lecture. It's unconditional. Surrender means unconditional. It means it's Krishna's. He sets the conditions on his terms. If he wants to be present before us, he's present before us. If he wants to make us brokenhearted by his absence, so be it. If he wants to crush us with his embrace, so be it. It's on his terms. Surrender to Krishna means on his terms. So, when there's an eagerness for that, and I want to amplify the theme that Maharaj wants to speak on, or to lead us through today, as he led us so wonderfully the other days, through experiencing genuine spiritual feelings, there must be this gratitude that whatever Krishna sends my way, yes. Not like because I'm struggling but due to inattentiveness, that's what Krishna wants. He wants me to be inattentive, but he wants that he'll help me. But he wants to see that eagerness. And so this struggle is to strengthen that eagerness, and appreciating the glories will help me be even more eager. So, because it's something that's very much inspired me, I want to go to the parallel of the Bhagavatam and the chanting of the holy name, or this cleansing of the heart. And not that the Srimad Bhagavatam is gyan, and persons like Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was a gyani amidst the six Goswamis. He was a relisher of the holy name, a relisher of the Bhagavatam. And the devotees relished his relishing. Krishna. Oh, here we go. This is text 4 from chapter 8, canto 2. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, I don't have the Sanskrit, it's the standard I'll find it. I'll just read the translation. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously. So this is the deeper entrance. The phrase that is used is svacheshtitam. Sva is one's own. Cheshtitam, like, you know, your conscious endeavor. Not someone's telling you and it's dutiful. It's you want Krishna. And Krishna, the literary incarnation of Krishna, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. I want that relationship. I want to experience. I want to enter into that relationship with Krishna. And so he's making himself available in his holy name and to guide our lives in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very eagerly, seriously, by one's own endeavor, one will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, the Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of such an ardent listener, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus, it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. So, there's this sharing and appreciation. There's a parallel between the Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name. Just reading something yesterday evening. I'm preparing for a seminar in Bhakti Loka by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was speaking or writing that one should not take up the process of devotional service in order to neutralize the reactions of one's sins as if it's a karmakanda activity. The chanting shouldn't be taken that way. Devotional service shouldn't be taken. If it's not, we all want happiness, but not the neutralization of suffering happiness, but the deeper spiritual happiness, the deeper spiritual, those that for which we're always hankering. Devotional service, he was saying, should not be taken up in that way. And one should carefully keep the confidential association, like we are being provided with here, with persons who want the real thing. And that real thing is our loving relationship with Krishna. Want the real thing. Then you have to translate that into practical activity, because we live in the world and, you know, compassion wells in the heart and one wants to do something. For the benefit of the world. Our founder Acharya wanted the Hare Krishna movement to be established in this world and be maintained. And gee, there's lots of stuff that one has to do that's not what we do, what we just did here in the retreat, and families and so many things. It's a tough place. But to stay in that, we need the association of one another, and we need to have this very sincere, so these two points, same as the preparation for the 64 rounds. Great eagerness, and accept those things that inspire and intensify and amplify that eagerness, and recognize that is not enough. It's good. It's essential, and it's good. It's not enough. descending mercy. And the descending mercy certainly is from sadhu, that we may think, oh, sadhu is, you know, somebody other than the people that are in our midst. But sadhu means devotee. Sadhu vritti, Bhakti Loka term, or Rupa Goswami's term, because we're Rupa Nuga. So these persons in our midst are very sincere souls, and it's a treasure that's been provided to have that association. Our International Society for Krishna's Consciousness is such devotees. So such devotees should be very much cared for. And that means, you know, all the other things besides, you know, when we, you know, what we're going to be doing when we leave here. That's our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You know, but we have to keep the core activities in the right place, and the eagerness for connecting with Krishna in those activities too, by strength, by keeping proper focus on the hearing and chanting essence. And I think I'm going to stop because there might be some discussion. I see them loading the prasadam into the car. Yeah.
Thank you very much for this presentation. I have a question which is often asked to me, and would appreciate your answer. How do we develop eagerness?
How do we develop eagerness? And that was a question that someone asked in this circle we said we were going to come back to. That was the question you asked? What was the exact question?
Exact question was how to develop
because the point was you can't expect the mercy if you're not eager, but what if you do if
Well, I'll defer to the thoughts that Sukhava has shared with us the other day. That is, you know, taking up, but just say it in a different way, taking up there's submission to the instructions. Now, Prabhupada has given us certain instructions, and if we're genuinely submissive, if we got the instruction, so one thing is dutiful. I've got instructions, so I do it. And it's like the difference between training a child to say thank you and training a child in such a way that they feel gratitude in their heart. I learn a lot from children. And there's one of the things that children do is when you give them something, they look at the something and say thank you. Or they don't say anything, and then their parents say, what do you say? Thank you. They don't look at you. So how do you train the feeling of gratitude? Because when there's gratitude, I want to do something for that person who gave me this wonderful thing. It's my response is one. That's not the total thing. Total answer, but eagerness starts with gratitude. We've received something transcendentally wonderful, and not just say thank you and dutifully, okay, now we chant, but to give back to that person who gave us this most wonderful thing. It's like, you know, Gopu Kumar, and when he goes through all his different experiences and at one place, the commentary explains, he keeps going because he doesn't want to be guilty of the fault of ingratitude that his spiritual master gave him this mantra so that he could meet Madan Gopal. And if I don't fulfill that purpose that my spiritual master gave, I'll be guilty of this fault of ingratitude. But if that's just the beginning, I don't want to be guilty of a fault. But I received something that's so valuable. Let me take this most valuable thing and let it become that which the gift giver wanted it to be.
Wonderful.
Because selfishness is a burnout. We can't stay on that track. That's what material life is, and it's ever flickering. But love is something that doesn't flicker. Even difficulty comes, it gives cause for that intensification of feeling. Another obvious answer is association. One gets warm by standing near a fire. The eagerness just by coming together in a retreat like this, or any form of like-minded, genuine Vaishnava Sangha, it's powerful. And then one of the common questions, you know, this will come tomorrow, how do we keep this from not just, you know, fading away, and that question. Mm-hmm. So Maharaj is going to give us some messages on that one. But taking eagerness is recognizing what it is that we have. So this is where Sambandhagyan, Haridas Thakur says this in Harinam Chintamani, without proper Sambandhagyan, one can't achieve the full fullness of the holy name. You have to have an understanding of what's what. When I understand, wow. Just to meditate, Krishna and his holy name. I should be eager. But I'm not eager. So then another answer is the Shikshastakam 3. It promotes that eagerness. It's a formula for eagerness. Yes, Sarvatma.
I'm not sure I understand pure gratitude, because you give the example of a child. Where you can actually, when the child looks at the object that you gave him and doesn't look at you and say thank you, and then you take it away, and then that will develop, he will develop some eagerness, so you give it back to him, then he will be truly grateful, but out of fear of that he will take it back.
He'll lose it, yeah.
So,
good point.
How do you develop gratitude so it's not out of fear that Krishna will take away?
Love. I mean, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches that duty and love are on a different platform. But duty can lead to, but it's different. So it's where love awakens, and that's the, you know, breakthrough to the other side exercise that seems that we've been working on and is the subject for today's discussion. When love genuinely awakens, so you can go backwards. So how does that, to the ecstasy, and how does nishta, ruchi. So that was one of the topics that could have been discussed this morning, the stages of bhakti. But so my understanding, just a short answer, it's not a conclusive, comprehensive answer, but when we follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, that love will awaken. So it's the following, but in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, not because we're going to get something, like, that's back to what Prabhupada said, one should not practice Krishna consciousness with the idea, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with the idea that it's going to, you know, I'll get what I want, or I'll get removed from what I don't want, materially speaking. So touching the real hankering of the soul. This is this eagerness question again, the genuine, what the soul really wants. I mean, like that meditation exercise that Maharaj took us through, you're standing before Krishna, and he asks you, what is it that you want? So that, you know, the deep, what is it that you want? Then it's not out of fear, because the circumstances can change, and it doesn't change the relationship. It's on Krishna's terms. That's love. Fear is something else. The fear that we're familiar with. Fear that we'll lose something. The greatest suffering or the greatest fear is that Krishna turns and walks away, or we continue the path of ignoring Krishna. Yagya?
Well, I guess the real crux is that we need a genuine experience of the real thing. That's always, how can you be eager something you haven't experienced, and there's always this kind of, okay, do it, I don't have to do it, but once you have been experienced, you've been touched by the real thing, I think that's an important thing to have. So,
or be in touch with somebody that you trust has that experience.
Right. So I guess for us it starts
sadhusanga.
Shila Prabhupada. We even though have never met him, we know he gave the real thing. His disciples experienced the real thing. They were transformed by it. So that's how the genuine life experience of Krishna consciousness, that fire has been passed on, and through that life connection.
Vishwanath Chakravarti says it like this: the whole of the trajectory of from Shraddha to Prema is just a detailed analysis of the growth of faith. There has to be this preliminary. And every soul has. Some are just wet and can't be ignited. But when that, so it's, as our faith in sadhu sangha is sufficient, then takes us down the path. Priyavrata, you had something?
Just a comment. I was thinking that hearing is really the heart of it, because just like in the material world, a mundane example, people develop eagerness or lust for a particular product when they constantly hear about it. They're always hearing about the glory of this product. And if some celebrity that they worship endorses it, then they think, oh, okay, it must work. So in the same way, we all have so much faith in Prabhupada. Without Prabhupada, we wouldn't be here. We just know if Prabhupada said something, then it's the absolute truth. We don't even doubt it. And he's like our in-house celebrity endorser. He's the greatest celebrity. He's Krishna consciousness, Chaitanya Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. So just by hearing about Prabhupada, hearing about the glories of the Bhagavatam and all the devotees in the line, that alone.
You said the word just before in terms of recognizing what we have, and then I was thinking also recognizing what we don't have, and what helped me in regards to, you know, eagerness and gratitude. Sometimes you know that you should have it, but you're not having the genuine experience. And what was a great help for me was I think it was in the Japa Reform. I'm not sure, it was one of your books where you were talking about wherever you are, like, I have no eagerness, I feel dry as a bone. And to speak to Krishna from where you are, it doesn't matter if you have eagerness, it doesn't matter if you have gratitude. If you don't have it, you don't have it. So you beg, you say, I don't have it, please give it to me. And then, and so in a sense, eagerness is also, on Krishna's terms, it's mercy. So if we beg for it, then maybe we'll get a drop. But to recognize where, you know, where we feel dry, so that it can come.
We got a great group here. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mataji. Yes.
Yeah, Krishna's so tricky. Because he sets up the prize, which is he's the point. And he says, in order to get me, you have to be very eager. And so he sets up an obstacle course, at least for me, and that obstacle course is called the mind. He puts his mind, it's not just, you know, little thing. It's like a giant inside of a mouth. And so it's like, okay, go for it. And while you're at it, you know, you have to really be happy that that's your sympathy.
And if you're not grateful, you're disqualified.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know. And also, apparently, psychologists, particularly children's psychologists, say that you can teach kids many things, but the one thing you cannot teach them is gratitude.
Really? Psychologists say that.
Like their life experience has to teach them that?
Yes. It's just a very, very material, difficult thing. And I have personally, in my speculations, connected to free will, because I do have free will. To be grateful, for me, is it's a very evolved and spiritual feeling, virtue, because it gets us to all these
Yeah. So, Kavaha, you had something?
One thing, you touched on a point which I think, like we're talking about how to develop eagerness, and I think one of the roadblocks is lamentation, like, I'm not getting the mercy, but really just really accepting whatever I'm getting, it's exactly the kind of mercy that I need.
Say yes to Krishna.
Yeah, say yes to Krishna. So, like, and then our mind is like, wasn't what I looked like, so I didn't get it. And then we just want, then that causes us to give up and lose our eagerness. So that, like, it's not like a lamentation, but really like, okay, and that wasn't what I expected, but there is it.
But that's the mind. It's the mind talking.
Yeah. I saw the car drive away with the prasadam, and so I'll call on Anutama. I think we'll end with this.
I just think those last two comments kind of pointed out the idea of, you mentioned it, I thought it was a very important point, that really it's faith. The deeper the faith is, the higher you're going on the process. And part of it is, like I was previously, before I made the point, I was just thinking, I don't know if I have that much faith. You know, I'm kind of having one of these experiences. I remember when I was a new devotee in Radharani's appearance day. I'm just sitting there going, I gotta keep hearing this. You know, it's like so bitter. I mean, how can, first time I saw a Krishna book, you know, God's will is playing a flute, come on. So I'm thinking, like, past lives, I was an impersonalist for so many lives, it's so hard to make the transformation. But the idea of, like, faith, because it's really, like, I went to a seminar that Archana City did at the Festival of Inspiration a few years ago. There was about 20 people came. It was something about transforming, like, suffering to faith or accepting
when bad
things happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
When bad is good.
Yeah, when bad is good. It's a great time. And there was a couple women devotees there who had lost children, one as a teenager, one as very young. You know, the kind of thing you could never put words in somebody's mouth, but hearing them explain in their own experience how, as terrible as that was, and how they'd give anything to have that child back, at the same time they recognized that Krishna had brought them to a higher level of faith in him, and somehow they grew as a person.
Wow.
And just the idea, like with faith, it's how much difficulty can you accept and believe that it's Krishna? I think that's a challenge. You know, in my own life, or in terms of what the world is. And if we really have a vision, you know, intellectually can understand everything that happens is Krishna's mercy. All the suffering in the world, all the difficulties. But if we really believe it, then we can have that kind of eagerness. You know, everything would be joyful no matter what, because you have a deep, deep conviction that Krishna's mercy really is helping everyone along the path. But that's what, for me, the faith can go so far. Okay, jeez, Krishna, did you have to do it? You know, nuclear bomb. have that faith, because that's really a lot of it, just depending, you're saying just depend upon Krishna. You can embrace me, you can crush me. To really feel that, you've got to really, really trust him. I think one of the challenges for me, I think I'm hearing it, is this world, like you said, is such a tough place. Somehow coming to that point of just trusting so much that as difficult it is to understand this place and as much suffering as it goes on, somehow ultimately that really is his mercy. So I can't put my hands up and know that if he crushes me, I, like Hari Das Thakur the other night, hey, 22 marketplaces, go for it. you know, you want me to die? Go, you know, it's time for the guards to be relieved from this. Go, you know, just that total. And I was thinking as you were speaking, like, look at all the different traditions of the world. Fear is such an important thing. You never, even in our tradition, there's some of that. But then there's a small group of people that just blow right out of that into this complete dependency and realization and love of God. That somehow that transformation that goes when you really have that total deep experience and faith that Krishna really is just loving everyone and just everything that happens is for their own good.
Sarvabha, look what you started. Deep question. We're going to have to end because of prasadam.
I was wondering, Sasarup Maharaj, have you maybe a comment or something to share?
I'm overwhelmed by what Lintima just said, and I can't really add anything to it. I agree with him. And what Pastor Bias said, quoting my book, that you can't, if you don't have eagerness, you just have to stay at that point and pray to Krishna to accept you. As you are, and I feel like that often, just don't have that eagerness, but I ask Krishna to accept me and go on with my lack of eagerness, but feel he's my friend, and I feel satisfied. Feel that way about the world situation too. Krishna must have a reason for doing things the way he's doing. If we don't, we're atheists. But those devotees who really, as Lutva said, will come through very strongly, accepting all the rat wars and all the great mishandling in the world. Wholeheartedly are great, great souls. We're participating in strong worship. Krishna, despite it, in the mission of Srila Prabhupada, that's what we have to do in the face of the world's terrible condition and our own lack of eagerness. It's just to partake in Prabhupada's mission. Movement. So the best thing for the world, the best thing for ourselves is to just follow his commands. So we've been doing that in this chakra retreat. such an apparently sectarian thing, working on a mantra chanting, Bhakti Samatha Saras, what is it? Just when a pujari rings the bells in the temple, he does more good than what is it? All the philanthropists in the world. So we've been doing great earth-shaking things here. The world doesn't recognize it, but it's so. So we have to do the faith in these activities, and keep associating with each other, encouraging each other.
I'd like to offer some words of encouragement to you. Just from the short time that we've been here together, how many references have been made of persons who have read your books, and that has been a guiding inspiration in their life?
Everyone.
Thank you for your service.
Bravo. Bravo.
I was thinking that, you know, when Maharaj mentioned about Krishna being, we want Krishna to be our friend, you know, Krishna's our friend.
It's all right.
Maharaj is, I always just see him as Srila Prabhupada's friend when he was in New York. Mm-hmm. And he really, really stayed in there with Prabhupada and really, really assisted him. Amazing to have that. Thank you for
helping. Hare Krishna. wonderful. When His Holiness Romapad Maharaj was hesitant in the morning to give his very wonderful it started with a testimony, actually, of your own experience. But he was hesitant in the morning, and 2 days before he was more hesitant. Then this morning, I gave three arguments why I thought he should give the lecture, and I was right. It was the most wonderful lecture at the right time. But one of my arguments was, I'm sorry, I'm coming from Germany, so my I said, they are all cooked potatoes now. They are soft in their heart. They have experienced the power of the Holy Name. They are very soft in their hearts. And they are the most wonderful group you will ever find. So you can only do excellent with such a group. So this is some of the power of the Holy Name. My dear devotees, taking on my duty, it's now 9:25. We are a little late today, half an hour late, and I would suggest we start the workshop at 11:30, not 11 o'clock. Why? So that you also can have some time keep on chanting. Please use the momentum which you have gotten yesterday and put it immediately now, today, into your practice. On the last day, that is tomorrow, His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj will address us on a very important subject where I feel he is really the person to address us. The inner life of the devotee will be his subject, and afterwards I will try to round it up and give you this points which you can put in your wheelbarrow and bring them home. But what I will say is that use the momentum of the japa retreat in your life. And you have to start already today with this exercise. Use the momentum, please, 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 of the 64 rounds day and bring it into your japa. That is good 16 rounds, and try to chant a little above the rounds. So we will meet at 11:30. So that you have enough time. And thank you once again, Roma Pad Maharaj. This was very good. Thank you. Thank you.